This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 9th. I'm Jeff Bosser. Coming up, we'll hear from Lee Archambault. The University of Illinois graduate and Illinois native will lead the Space Shuttle Discovery's mission on Wednesday. We'll hear from him as well as some of those who taught him in his days at the U of I. We'll check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana also, but first a look at today's news. A failure at an Amaranth IP substation at Sydney cut power to most of the University of Illinois' Urbana campus for about 6 hours yesterday. The outage began around 3:15 yesterday afternoon and ended for most campus buildings shortly after 9 p.m. Campus police say power was back at all buildings by midnight. Spokesperson Robin Kaler said in a news release that the outage forced dormitory dining halls to serve cold dinners last night. Some campus events were canceled, including a concert by rap artist T.I. at the Assembly Hall and a klezmer band performance at the Krannert Center. Campus police put additional patrols on campus yesterday and alerted managers of buildings where critical research is conducted to take appropriate action. The storms moved rapidly through the area Sunday afternoon, and Amaranth spokesman Neil Johnson says down utility poles and wires left more than 9,000 customers without power in Champaign County alone. There were about 100 outages in Vermilion County and more than 300 in McLean County. U of I officials expected steam heat to be restored to campus buildings overnight. Campus police went from building to building overnight to make sure air handlers and chillers had restarted. The National Weather Service says powerful winds have torn the roofs from apartment buildings in the Springfield area and caused structural damage to homes. Meteorologist Chuck Schaefer says at least one person suffered minor injuries when the wind struck yesterday. Schaefer says a fast-moving line of storms with winds up to 60 miles per hour struck north and northeast Springfield the hardest. Loamie Fire Department Chief Troy Snyder says at least 7 homes were destroyed in his area and 30 more sustained severe damage. He says 2 horses on a farm were lost in the storm. With 1,200 people attending Sunday services at the First Baptist Church in Maryville in the Metro East area, parishioners initially weren't alarmed when a young man they didn't recognize walked up the sprawling church's center aisle during the sermon until, that is, he opened fire. Illinois State Police say the gunman strode toward the Reverend Fred Winters shortly after 8 yesterday morning, exchanged words with him, then shot 4 rounds at him with a .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol. Winters later died at a hospital of his injuries. Authorities didn't know whether Winters, a married father of 2, knew the gunman. Police would not release the gunman's name pending possible charges. They would only say that he's a 27-year-old man from nearby Troy. Illinois' budget troubles have state leaders considering an income tax hike. Sean Crawford reports talk is heating up at the Illinois Capitol.
For years, most lawmakers shied away from talk of increasing the state's income tax. Fear of the political fallout led them to instead raise user fees, shift money around, and use bloated estimates of how much the state would take in so the budget would appear balanced. But the projected $9 billion fiscal hole the state has dug might finally force the governor and legislature to reconsider the income tax. Donnie Trotter is the Senate Democrats' budget expert. He says talks are underway about how the tax hike would work, although one version would have top earners paying about 60% more. Those who make less would get tax credits to lessen the blow.
It is not like a regressive sales tax, in which people aren't shopping anyway, so we're not getting those. So I believe this is about the fairest way to do it.
Trotter says other tax and fee hikes are also on the table, as well as some spending cuts. He points out he's never had a meeting with the governor's staff and is unsure if Pat Quinn is on board with this specific plan. But Trotter says an income tax increase is getting more attention this year than it has since it was last raised in the early 90s. I'm Sean Crawford.
An Illinois House committee this week is scheduled to consider a proposal to conduct some elections by mail. Sam Hudzik has this story.
State Representative Mike Boland says voting by mail would be more convenient, boosting turnout. And the Western Illinois Democrat says it would save local governments loads of money.
Don't have to staff, hundreds of precincts, have the voting machines everywhere, folks to haul them around and all this type of thing.
To test the system, Boland wants to try it out in some smaller elections first. Election officials in Chicago and Cook County last week endorsed a plan to use mail-in voting for all special elections. But Tom Cross, the Republican leader in the House, says he has huge concerns about fraud.
not that anybody would accuse anybody in Cook County of fraud, but I would be very careful about opening up the door with mail-in because it's just ripe for fraud.
The House Elections and Reform Committee is expected to debate the plan tomorrow afternoon. I'm Sam Hudzik.
For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The University of Illinois alumnus will lead the next NASA shuttle mission, slated to lift off Wednesday for the International Space Station. The launch of the Discovery is the second shuttle mission for Lee Archambault. And those who taught the Illinois native say they're not surprised by his success. U of I alumnus Lee Archambault says he grew up riveted by the lunar missions of the 60s and 70s. He was raised in the Chicago area in the shadow of another astronaut. Eugene Cernan is best known for his role in three NASA missions, including as commander of Apollo 17 in 1972. And like him, Archambault is from the suburb of Bellwood. In an interview provided by NASA, he called Cernan one of his heroes.
Standing in a parade when I was about 6 years old, honoring Mr. Cernan's first mission in the Gemini program. So we followed Mr. Cernan's career along quite well, quite closely, and it was interesting to see him walk on the moon, and actually still has to this day the distinction of being the last man to walk on the moon.
Archambault says his parents worked hard to ensure he'd attend college, and he wasn't about to let them down.
My mother ended up becoming a nurse, my dad a fireman in the Chicago area, and they both worked a lot of extra part-time jobs and overtime in addition to their primary jobs to make sure both myself and my sister had the opportunities that they didn't. And when I was able to go away to college at the University of Illinois, I was determined not to waste their hard-earned their money.
And faculty at the U of I say that same willpower would show as Archambault was working towards degrees in the late 70s and early 80s with the focus of becoming a pilot.
He was almost aggressive in getting work done.
Ken Sivier, a professor emeritus of aeronautical and astronautical engineering, helped Archambault earn his master's degree.
You're assigned or choose a student, and time goes by, and it's time to get a thesis done. I can't remember how long it took him to do it, but it seemed to me he did it within 2 or 3 months.
For that thesis, Archambault completed a numerical study on a problem within aeronautical engineering. While solving complicated mathematical equations, students in such a field of study often get tips on their writing. But a former U of I instructor and publications editor says Archambault never needed it. Arthur Chamberlain says their conversations often turned to other things, including his love for hockey and seeking a more competitive level of play.
So he would come in and belabor the fact that he was on the Illini club hockey, and he wanted to really play in the Big Ten hockey. So one time I suggested, well, why don't you transfer to the University of Wisconsin? And he said, oh, I'd love to, but I can't. They don't have an aerospace department.
After getting his master's degree, Archambault joined the Air Force and flew in 22 combat missions during the Gulf War. Later, he logged more than 4,000 hours as a test pilot before being selected as a pilot by NASA in 1998. Just before his first space shuttle mission in 2007, Archambault made a return trip to the U of I campus. Aerospace engineering professor John Prussing watched him as he met with engineering students. He says like many astronauts, Archambault has a way of making his job sound easy.
He tends to understate things that are very difficult that he had to do involving moving the robot arm. And his description would usually be, this took a lot of concentration, rather than saying, you know, my heart was thumping so hard I couldn't see straight or anything like that.
On this week's trip, Archambault is headed back to the International Space Station. This 7-member crew is responsible for delivering solar wings to the site. They'll produce 66 kilowatts of electricity, or enough to provide power to about 30 homes of more than 2,800 square feet. They'll also be leaving one crew member there, while another astronaut at the station will be brought back to Earth. Archambault is one of 5 U of I graduates to be part of the space program. The others are Joe Tanner, Steve Nagel, Dale Gardner, and Scott Altman, who's the commander for a Space Shuttle Atlantis mission to the Hubble Space Telescope scheduled for May. NASA is close to ending its shuttle program, but new spacecraft are being developed to take men and women back to the moon and beyond, and Archambault expects more interest to come along with it. In the NASA interview, he says it was men walking on the moon that got him hooked on the space program.
Today's children have not seen us explore the unknown, but when we start doing that again with the Orion and Constellation program, when we go to the moon for the first time in their lives and go on to Mars for the first time in history, these young adults will be just as inspired, if not more, than our generation was when we saw Neil Armstrong walk on the moon.
Lee Archambault will be able to gauge a bit of that support later this year. He's expected back on the U of I's Urbana campus to discuss his travels. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News. In the forecast for today, mostly sunny skies, the high around 55 degrees, not as cool tonight. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then showers likely after midnight, the low around 45. Breezy conditions tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms are likely, the high around 65. Gusting winds up to 30 miles an hour in the afternoon, a chance of rain at 60%. Colder tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers, the low around 35. Wednesday through Thursday, colder conditions, partly cloudy, the high around 42 degrees, the low around 25. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.